Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
What a great day to be in church, right? What a great day to be in church. We got a great message for you guys. Believe it or not, you ready for this truth? Easter is right around the corner. I mean, it is coming up quick. Miss Margie's here. Sorry, you surprised me. As you guys all know, if you're on Facebook, Miss Margie and Gary moved up to somewhere. We don't care. We're still crying about it. But anyway, it's good to have you back here this morning, Miss Margie. Now you got me all thrown off. But it's good to see you. But anyway, make sure you say hi to her because you're probably leaving. Oh, there you go. Make sure you say hi to her because she probably won't see her for a little bit until she hears from the Lord and moves back home. Amen?
That's right.
I'm just kidding. But anyway, back to what I was saying before I got thrown off. We've got Easter coming up, and we're so excited about that. And as you know, whenever Easter is around, everybody's talking about the resurrection, the crucifixion. And so it's just an awesome time in the whole world where just Jesus is the topic of conversation. And so in order to prepare us, get us ready for that, for the next 3 weeks, we're just going to be talking about who Jesus is. Isn't that a good one? Who Jesus is. Because so often we can think that we can't talk to people and we can't talk to people about the Lord and or anything or tell people about Jesus because we don't know everything. How many know none of us know everything? You know, and if we're not careful, we'll fall into that trap where we think, well, if I can't answer all their questions, I don't even want to start the conversation. And so I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. And I'm going to read them to you from the Message paraphrase. And don't forget, if you want to follow along on your Bible app, you can just click Live Events and look for BVC. Jesus is on the phone. I stole that joke from Pastor Rod. He used it last week. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. This is Paul talking, and I'm going to read it to you out of the Message. And he says, "You'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did, Jesus crucified." And so even Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote more than two-thirds of the New Testament, even he is saying, listen, keep it plain and keep it simple. You want to talk to people about what's most important in your life? That's Jesus. We just need to tell them who Jesus is and what Jesus did.
That's
amen.
Right.
Paul said, I didn't come to you with a big fancy speech and big words that you have to look up on Google to find out what they mean. You ever heard a sermon sometimes and you're like, what does that even mean? What does that even mean? I don't even understand that. Paul said, listen, I didn't come to do that. He said, I wanted to keep it plain and keep it simple and just tell you who Jesus is and what Jesus did. And so we're going to talk these next 3 weeks. We're going to talk about Jesus is. So today it's Jesus is the shepherd. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We've been talking in the last, I throw it out in every sermon every once in a while that we are the sheep. Look at your neighbor and say, bah. We're the sheep, and Jesus is the shepherd.
Amen.
Some of you can do a pretty good sheep. You do a pretty good sheep, yeah. We're the sheep, and so you know what? Sometimes we don't want to be the sheep. We want to be the boss. We want to be the CEO. We want to be the ruler. We want to be the person in charge. But really, when you recognize that Jesus is the shepherd, and you're going to put that down and say, you know what? I'd rather be the sheep, because he's a whole better shepherd than we are. He's more qualified, he's got more information, he's smarter, he's better. Jesus is a better shepherd than you are. Because you and I, we're made to be the sheep. We're sheep. And some of you may find that a little insulting because, as you've learned, sheep are not really bright. They're not really bright. They require a lot of care. Do you know that as livestock go, sheep require like the most hands-on care of any other livestock animal? That's why a lot of people don't raise sheep, because there's so much trouble. Look at your neighbor and say, she's talking about you. We're all so much trouble. And so thank God we have the shepherd. We have Jesus. He's our shepherd. And he wants to shepherd us, and he wants to help us, and he wants to be the good shepherd. Amen? And so one of the things we're going to learn today is just what a shepherd does. Because how many know when we have expected roles, like when you go to a restaurant and the waitress comes and takes your order, you expect her to do what? Go get it and bring it to you, right? So you're like, is this a trick question? No. You expect that person to bring the food. When I go to 2J's, which I'm known to do, I expect, when I order my food, I expect it to come and me eat it because it's going to be so delicious, right? And so, and when you go to Target or you go to Publix and you go to the cashier, what do you expect her to do? Ring up your groceries. And when you go to Publix, what do you expect that bagger to do? Bag them and take them out for you, right? When we know what someone's role is, we have an expectation for that. And so when we know that Jesus is the good shepherd, we're going to have an expectation for him to shepherd us. But we need to know what that means, and so we're going to find out today. So let's look at our Bible at a few verses here. In Psalms 100. No. Back up. John chapter 10. Thank you. Angel's like, no, that's not it. John chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 10 and 11. And really, if anybody said, hey, what kind of church do you go to? You know what you could tell them? You could tell them, I go to a church that believes John 10, 10. I go to a church that believes John 10, 10, and they don't just believe it, they live it, they speak it. It's part of everything that they do. Because as a church, this is our verse. In John 10, 10, it says, this is Jesus talking, and it says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy. And then Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And so with everything that we do, with every message that we preach, every event that we have, we take it back to John 10, 10, and we ask, is this helping people have a full life in Jesus? Is this helping people understand that the enemy is under our feet and he can no longer steal, kill, or destroy us? Amen? Is it helping people to recognize that Jesus is the good shepherd?
Amen.
And so if Jesus says he's the good shepherd, we need to know what a shepherd does, right? Because he wants to shepherd us. Remember, I'm the sheep. Say, I'm the sheep.
I'm the sheep.
Look at your neighbor and say, you're the sheep. Look at your other neighbor and say, bah. Good job. All right. You got some good sheep in here. So turn to one of the most famous portions of Scripture. Lots of people know the Scripture, but it explains what a shepherd does, and it explains the shepherd's role and also the sheep's role. And that's in Psalms 23. How many memorize Psalms 23? You got it memorized. Lots of people do. But in Psalms 23, we got it here out of the New King James because I just think that's just so good. And you know what? Let's just all read it together. Amen. A lot of us know it. We got it up here, up on the screen. You got it? Let's read it together. You guys ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory to God. Woo! Doesn't that sound good? I mean, just knowing the Lord is my shepherd and then all the great stuff that comes after that. I mean, we could just shout hallelujah and go home right now. Amen? But we have to understand that all that good stuff, the goodness and the mercy following me, dwelling in the house of the Lord, his rod, his staff, the table, all that stuff comes after verse number one. We got to make sure we got verse number one going in our life, and that's that we're in the right place. How many know it pays to be in the right place?
Yes.
It pays to be in the right place. And the right place for us, I'm the sheep. The Lord says that he made us and we are the sheep of his pasture. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. And we got to make sure that we're not trying to be the shepherd, because it's easy to get into that role where we're doing what we want to do. We're bossing. We're saying we're going where we want to go. And we're not saying, Lord, where would you have me be? Or we're trying to take care of ourselves. Do you know that you're not equipped to take care of yourself? And you know, there's always one in every crowd that's like, well, I'm taking care of myself. I'm doing do this. You know, I can't do it that good. But I'm taking care of myself. I got it down. Listen, you might be doing okay right now, but there's a wolf coming for you. He's bigger than you. He's smarter than you. And he's coming for you. And I don't say that to scare you. I say that to tell you the truth. That's why you need a shepherd. Because one of the things, I know a lot about sheep. You're probably wondering, how do you know so much about sheep? Do you have one at home? No. I have goats at home. No, I'm just kidding. I have dogs. But here's the thing. I did a whole big, a year I studied sheep. Because I wanted to know about me. And I wanted to know about you. And here's some things, just some basic things I learned about sheep. You ready? One, they're not bright. They're not bright animals. You never see a sheep in the circus. Right? You never see a sheep that learn tricks. Right? Because they don't know any. Here's the most interesting thing I've recently learned about sheep. I told you guys this a couple weeks ago. They have the ability to run, but they don't. They just don't. They have knees that they don't use. Sheep require a great deal of care. A sheep left on its own is in trouble. Sheep have no way to defend themselves. They have, you know how some animals, they have big teeth, or they have big claws, or they got a strong tail, or they can run really fast. You know, they got a way to defend themselves, to get out of the peril of an enemy coming for them. Sheep have none of those. They can't run. Well, they can, but not fast, and they don't. They don't have big teeth. They don't hear well, and they're practically blind. I mean, sheep need somebody to defend them. They need somebody to watch out for them. They need somebody to take care of them, because wolves love to eat sheep. And the enemy is coming, and he is trying to destroy your life and my life. But thank God we have a shepherd that's watching over us. But we've got to make sure that we recognize, you're the shepherd, I'm the sheep. Say that, I'm the sheep.
I'm the sheep.
I'm the sheep. It's going to work out better when we're the sheep. So here in Psalms 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. And I want to tell you six things, hopefully time giving, six things that shepherds do. You guys ready? Number one thing shepherds do is they provide. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, isn't that good? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A shepherd takes care of everything for the sheep. Takes care of everything. Watches out for them, takes care of them. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I love what Brother Hagin said. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means that I don't want for anything. I don't want for peace. I don't want for comfort. I don't want for intelligence. I don't want for creativity. I don't want for answers, because the Lord is my shepherd and he will supply everything I need. The answers that you're looking for, the direction that you're looking for, the peace that you are hungry for, the Lord is your shepherd. And if you'll be the sheep and let him be the shepherd, he'll supply those things to you. Yeah. Amen? But when we're out trying to comfort ourselves and take care of ourselves and looking for love in all the wrong places, the shepherd's over there going, I got what you need, but you're in the wrong place. We got to run back to the pasture and say, be my shepherd. And when we do that, he's going to take care of those wants in our life. The Lord is my shepherd. Say it with me. I shall not want. Next thing that a shepherd does, this is so good. Here it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. This is my favorite part of Psalms 23. He restores my soul. You know what a shepherd does? He restores. Here's what that word means. If you look up that word, you get all fancy about it, and look it up in the Greek and the Hebrew and all that. If you look up the word restores, it means this: to take you back to the place before departure. To take you back to the place before departure. He will restore you to that place. So before you goofed up, before you messed up, before you got all hung up and strung out and all that kind of stuff, before we did all that stuff, where we were, God says, I'll take you back to that place. So often the enemy will tell you when we've made mistakes, when we've gotten off and done things on our own and just been crazy, had times of crazy in our life, he'll try to lie to you and say, oh, you've messed up now. The call of God on your life is over. You can never get back. You can never have a normal life. You can never be married. You can never have children. You can never do those dreams that are in your heart because of this. The enemy ever tell you guys that? He's told me that many times. But the Lord says that he is our shepherd and he restores us. He says, I'll take you back before all that pain. I'll take you back before those mistakes. I'll take you back before the everything just went to you know where. I'll take you back. He'll restore your soul. Oh, I love that part. You know, a real good way for us, you know, because we're all computer people. Everybody's got a computer anymore. You know, when your computer just gets so messed up, just it doesn't work anymore. It's really slow. It keeps shutting down. Or you get the blue screen of death, right? Anybody ever gotten the blue screen of death? You know what they do to it? They have a disc, or they have a program now. A lot of them don't have, but it's a restore disc. What does it do? It takes it back to when it first was made. It erases all the mistakes, all the buttons you shouldn't have pushed, all the places you shouldn't have gone on the internet. It erases all those. And it makes it fresh, like it's brand new. And so when the Bible says that he restores my soul, that's what God wants to do for you. Amen? He restores me. You don't have to keep walking around with shame and guilt and regret and dread and feeling hopeless and feeling like because of what you've done, it changes where you're going. You don't have to walk like that anymore. You can get restored to where you are fresh and new and got a new chance on life, a fresh start. You're just brand new in the eyes of God. And he can open any door for you that needs to be opened. He restores your soul. But how does he do it? He does it because he takes you to green pastures and he lays you beside still waters. And I learned something in prepping for preaching this message today. I learned something that all the year I studied sheep and Psalms 23, I didn't learn this. I just learned it recently and I thought it was so good. I heard somebody say this and they said, you know what those green pastures are? Because what do sheep eat? Anybody know? They eat grass. And so when that shepherd would take them to the green pasture for them to eat, but you and I, where's he taking us? That green pasture, it's the word. Oh, isn't that good? That's so good. It's the word of God. He takes us to the word because that's our bread. That's bread for our life. And then this is so good, the still waters. You know what he said it was? I just thought this is so good. He said, I think that's worship. I think that's worship. And you know, when I heard that, I was like, let me think about this for a minute. You know, just because you hear something, don't think, oh, that's fact. You know, let it sink in. Think about it. Let God reveal it to you. And as I began to think about the word being that green grass, I was like, oh, man, that's true. Because without feeding on the word, because when I feed on the word, that's what changes my mind. When my mind changes, my soul changes. Amen. It begins to get reset. All those crazy ideas and those hurts and those betrayals and those that stuff that's happened in your life, hey, that's called life, right? We've all been through it. We can pass the microphone around, and every person in this room has a sad story to tell. Every person in this room has something that's happened that's not fair. Everybody has had something that happened that isn't fair and wasn't right, and it cost you and it hurts you. We all have that story. All of us do. But thank God that our God restores us. But if you sit in that, if you sit in that cesspool of pain and suffering and just keep remembering and remembering, you're just going to stay there. It's just going to get worse. But God says if you'll eat his word, if you'll get his word into you, It will begin to change what you think about. And when you change what you think about, it changes your emotions. It changes your reactions. It changes your everyday. What's happening? Your soul is getting restored. It's getting restored. And then I don't know about you, but I've been through some things in my life just like you have. Everybody has. And I don't know about you, but I know the times that I have gotten into His Word, and then I have just closed the door in my house or somewhere private and just sang to the Lord and worshiped Him. I tell you, I've been just put into the presence of God, and just His restoration power begins to move and work in my life, and you can almost feel the healing taking place from the inside out. Man, if you've never felt that, you need to. You need to. That's how God restores your soul. The shepherd, he's gonna take me to those green pastures, and He's gonna lead me to those still waters, and that is going to restore my soul. You don't have to stay where you are. You can get restored. Amen. I don't know about you, but for me, that is life-saving information. Life-changing, life-saving information. And I know that there are people in this world that have been through unspeakable things. They have been hurt beyond what we can imagine. And I've got news for you. You have a God that can restore that which the enemy has stolen, broken, and tried to rip from you. Because our shepherd restores our soul. But we got to be in the right place. He's the shepherd. I'm the sheep. Amen. Let's look at what else God does. He's so good to us. The shepherd restores, and then the next part, the shepherd leads. He leads. Psalms 23 says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Do you know there are some right paths for you to take? And they have God's name on them for His name's sake. There are pathways for you to take, for you to be on, that are right. And how many know there are some that are wrong? Anybody ever been on those? We've probably all been on those. The good news is God allows you to change paths. You can be going the wrong way 100 miles, and as soon as you say, Lord, help me, restore me, take me where I need to be, He will do exactly that. Because the Lord leads us. He leads us. And He leads us on the paths of righteousness. People are always saying, how do I know the will of God? How am I led by God? What do? You need His Word. You need His presence. Because when you have His Word and His presence, you will know His voice. You will know His voice. Let's look at John chapter 10 again. Verses 3 and 5, it says, the sheep listen to His voice. Who's the sheep?
Are.
Look at your neighbor and say, you are. The sheep listen to His voice. He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. His sheep follow Him because they know His voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from Him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. People, you know, one of the most common questions that I get asked as a pastor, how do I know the will of God? You know the will of God when you know the voice of God. And you know the voice of God when you know the Word of God. Amen? You have to know His voice. So when He speaks, you follow. He knows you. The Bible says that we are the sheep of His pasture and that He knows our name. You know, before you were even born, before your parents even knew each other, the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11 that God knew you and had a plan for you. There is a plan for your life. There is a path for your life. And if you will listen to God, He will lead you to it. But we gotta say, you're the shepherd, and I hear your voice. You know, years ago, Ray Gene Wilson was here, and he was telling a message about when he was in Israel. He was in Israel, and he said that there's sheep all over the place there. And he said, all of these sheep, just hundreds and hundreds of sheep, they're all together. They're all eating on the green grass. And then the shepherds would just kind of stand around and watch their sheep. But when it was time for their sheep to go, let's say that these guys are all shepherds. They're shepherds. We got Shepherd Angie, Shepherd Angel, Shepherd Chris, right? And so all their sheep are together. And they're all together, they're all intermingling with one another. And Ray Jean said when one shepherd would stand up, and like when Andrew would stand up, she would do her call, whatever it was. You got a call, you want me to just, you know. And this morning I did the Lion King, but I'll spare you guys. You know, just whatever they do, you know. Whatever they do. Everybody's like, what's the, you know, he goes, on to one, yo, you know that, you know. Whatever that shepherd does, Ray Jean says that all of a sudden, his sheep would come out from the crowd and just follow him. And then the next shepherd would get up and he'd do his thing, whatever, oh, you know, whatever, Tarzan. And then his sheep would come and they would follow him. And so Regine asked, they said, do any of the sheep ever accidentally follow the wrong person? And the shepherds were like, no, they know our voice. Isn't that amazing? And that's how we're supposed to be. When the world and all the voices and all the people and all the crazy are saying, do this, go here, you're this, you're that, blah, blah, blah. We need the voice of the Lord is coming above those. And if we know his voice, we'll be like, I hear the voice of my shepherd saying that I am the head and not the tail, that I am above only and not beneath, that he has restored my soul and made me brand new, that he is leading me and guiding me. We can hear that over all the crazy of the world. But in order to hear his voice, you got to know his voice. Because if you don't know his voice, it's just going to be a whole bunch of noise. You got to know his voice. How do you get to know his voice? His word, his presence. His word and his presence. Amen. You know, whenever Pastor Scott and I go shopping, which is rare because he doesn't like to shop, you know. But if occasionally he'll go, if we're in Target or somewhere and he's over here looking at something and I'm over here looking at something, you know what he does? We have a whistle. We have a whistle. It's our whistle and I recognize it. And when I hear it, I follow it. So if you're ever in Target and you hear this whistle, you want a whistle, babe? That. And so, you know, and if I don't hear it, he'll do it loud. He'll say, I'm like, it's my sweetie boy. I gotta go, right? So if you're ever in Target and you hear that whistle, I'm there. And he's ready to go. But how do you know that? Because we've done it. It's like, it's just, I've heard it. And I know it's him. And so I follow it. And so that's how we need to be with the Lord, where we know his voice. And you know what? When you have the word, when something counterfeit comes, you know it doesn't line up with the word, so you're going to be like, no. It's like when a young person came up to me and said, oh, I met somebody, Pastor Peggy. And I'm like, oh, that's great. And they said, yeah, he's really great. I said, where does he go to church? Oh, he doesn't go to church. To me, on the inside, rah, 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 you know, that's a no. Like, oh, he loves God. Listen, people that love God and want to do what God says, they go to church. Now, listen, somebody like, oh, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No, you're right. You're exactly right. You do not have to go to church to be a Christian. But the Word of God tells us to get the most out of our Christianity, to do it the way God wants us to do it. He said, go to church. He said, be part of a church. Don't just go to church. Be part of a church. A church isn't a building. It's not an institution. It's not a religion. It's a family. And so he says, be part of a family. Be part of a family of believers. And see, I know that because I know God's word. Right? But this young person that's talking to me, they don't know that. Or they don't want to hear that. That's usually what it is. They just don't want to hear that. And so I say, well, you know, what do you think about that? And so they go, oh, I prayed about it, and I really feel like I heard God say it was okay, even though he's not saved and he doesn't go to church. Now listen, some of you are like, well, no! No! Whatever you hear God say will never violate what this says. Never. Never. It will never, because they are the same. The word of God and the voice of God will always say the same thing. And so that's why when you want to know God's voice, get into his word, get into his presence. And he will lead you. He will lead you and you'll be where you need to be. All right, let's keep going here. One more and then we're probably going to go. The next one is the shepherd supports me. He supports me. The Bible says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what's the rest? I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, how many have ever read that and you thought that rod was for you? For when you messed up. Right? What are you doing over there? Whack. The rod is not for you. Your shepherd has the rod for the wolf who's coming for you. Amen? That's who the rod's for. It's not to beat on your head. It's to beat on the wolf's head. It's to protect you. Now that rod, it's not for you. But that staff, that's for you. That's for me. Because you know what the Lord, you know what the shepherd does with that? He's got that staff. And when his sheep start to go over here, you know, his sheep start going where he's not supposed to go, he'll gently take that staff and say, no, 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 and push him the right way. That's how God leads you and guides you. That gentle, hey, let's go this way. Let's go this way. But that rod's not for you. God supports you. He cares about you. God is for you, not against you. Amen? He's for you. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:16-17, this is Paul writing, and he says, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. Anybody ever felt like that? Probably all of us. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. God never leaves. Never leaves. He is for you, not against you. And he is the good shepherd. And so when we recognize that we're the sheep and he's the shepherd, I'm going to look to him to provide for me. How many got some needs in here you need met? Yes. Amen. The Lord is your provider. I'm going to look to him to restore me. When the hurts and the pains of life feel overwhelming, I'm going to look for the restoration of the Lord. To restore me, to take me back to my factory default. Amen? To take me back to how God made me in the first place. The Bible says he made us. And I want to be taken back to that place. Amen. God restores us. I'm going to look for the shepherd to lead me. Because there's places I want to go and things I want to do. How about you? And I want to make sure I'm on the right path, going in the right direction. I don't want to get sidetracked by crazy. I don't want to get sidetracked by temptations and things like that. So I'm going to look for the Lord to guide me, and I want to stay on that path of righteousness. Amen? And I'm going to know and remember that no matter what it looks like, people can desert and people can leave and people can say stuff and people can hurt us. That's life. But the Lord stood by my side. Amen? Amen? The Lord is with you, and he's got that rod to protect you, and he's got that staff to gently guide you. Amen? Amen? He is our shepherd, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Yes. Oh, glory to God. Let's pray together. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for all the sheep in this place. Lord, and that's all of us. We are the sheep of your pasture. And Lord, I know that there's some in here that have gotten away from you. They've, what the Bible said, have gone astray. They're outside the care and the protection, the comfort, and the support of the shepherd. But the good news is that you welcome them home today. Jesus isn't out to get you. He's your shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And he's calling. He's calling in all of his sheep, saying, come home. Come home. Come close to the shepherd. Come close to the one who loves you. Come close to the one who cares for you. Come close to the one who will never leave you, never forsake you. Come close. So if you're here today with every head bowed and every eye closed, and maybe you've gotten too far away, I got good news for you. The Lord is saying, welcome home. You just got to come home. Say, how do I do that? What do I do? What do I do? You make a declaration that the Lord is your shepherd, that Jesus is your Savior. You turn your back on things that are not of Him, and you give your whole heart to Jesus. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Doesn't mean you're going to have it all together, but it's going to mean you're headed in the right direction. Amen. It's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. You know how our hearts feel when we're in pride and doing our own thing? And we know how our hearts feel when we say, Jesus, I need you. I need you. So if you're here today with every head bowed and every eye closed just for a minute, and you say, I need to make a heart change. I need to make a heart change. I need to get close to the shepherd. I've wandered away. I'm not a bad person, but I've wandered away. And today, I want to come home. If that's you today with nobody looking around, just raise your hand up big and tall. Don't think about it forever. Just do it. I see your hand. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand, sir. I see your hand over here. Anybody else? I see your hand. I just want to come home. I see your hand. I just want to come home. I just want to come home. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So many hands up all over. Hallelujah. For the people who raised their hand, we're all going to say this prayer with you because that's part of being in a family. You're not alone anymore. That's the best part of being in a family. You're not alone. We're not perfect, but we're together. Amen. We're not perfect, but we're together. We're family. And so let's all say this prayer for those 8, 9 people that raised their hand. Let's say this prayer. Let's show them that we're with them. Let's say it loud. Say, Father God, today, I declare and I've decided that you are the shepherd and I am the sheep. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came, that he died, that he rose again, all for me. I repent. Turn my back on a life without him. And I run to the shepherd, so he'll protect me. He'll lead me. He'll restore me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Woo, glory to God. Oh, aren't you glad that you can always come back home? Amen. God is so good. I just encourage you to have that expectation of your shepherd. Amen. Look for him to provide for you, to lead you, to support you, to defend you, to help you. That's what he wants to do. But every morning we need to get up, we need to look in the mirror. You know what we need to do? We need to say, I'm the sheep and you're the shepherd. Amen. You're the shepherd. Hey, we're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offering.